Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg, co-host Green Diva Lisa, and sidekick Green Dude Scott share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
I always feel like dancing in that opening. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Hour. And, of course, the intro says that we're on with co-host Green Diva Lisa and Green Dude Scott, and neither of them are here today. We have a special guest Green Diva co-host, Barbara Taylor.
Good morning. I'm happy I could be with you on this holiday weekend.
I know.
Are the other dudes and dudettes
Everybody's
away?
Holidaying.
Holidaying, okay.
Holidaying. Green Diva Lisa's in South Dakota somewhere. And, you know, totally not available. She's really, well, this is what, you know, Green Diva filmmakers do.
Yeah.
And Green Dude Scott, I think, is in the Hamptons.
Oh, well, excuse me. Yeah. Glad I could be here in the
I know.
Studio with
this
you.
This is our vacation.
Yeah.
Little party here in the studio this weekend. And we've got Silent Jessie, Green Diva Silent Jessie. She's waving, just so you all know. Get the image. So we have a fun show today. Before I launch into that, I just want to mention our online media partners who are doing a great job of extending and expanding our Green Diva family. We have care2.com, eatdrinkbetter.com, ecoseed.org, and Green Revolution Radio out of WKVOI, Tucson, Arizona. He plays our little vignettes, our little green light vignettes. It's
very
kind of
cool.
Fun. FeelGoodStyle.com, Grateful Dread Public Radio. She rebroadcasts the show every Sunday at 7 a.m. and Tuesdays 9 a.m. Okay, deep breath. Lots to do. We have our Green Diva correspondent today is Marie Wilson from Los Angeles, California. Of course, she's on vacation.
Oh, but she's up pretty early then.
Yeah, she is. I know. She's a trooper, our Marie. She's in, actually, I think she's in Palm Springs.
Nice.
With her family. And she was kind enough to still do a report for us. I think she's going to be talking about some eco-luxury jewelry, eco-jewelry.
Great.
Our interview guests are Danny Phillips and Kim Carlsrud, who are co-founders of, and I probably just massacred her name, sorry, Kim, co-founders of Green Aid, makers of seed bombs. And you've heard us talk about seed bombs.
I've been hearing about these seed bombs for a while. I really
you've seen pictures
learn more.
Of
I've
us.
I've seen the pictures.
Playing with seed bombs?
Yeah, with the slingshot.
The one we use primarily is with Silent Jessie there. So if you want to see what Silent Jessie looks like, since you can't hear her, you got to go to our website, thegreendivas.com.
Good.
And we have a couple of special segments today. I'm going to do one on green pets.
Perfect.
And you're going to do one on eco art.
I know.
So I know you did your homework. I saw all your notes. There's
I found
really,
so many artists.
Yeah, there is some wonderful stuff going on with eco art, which is fun. It's always fun to be creative anyway. So let's just for a minute. I want to hear what you've been on the show with us before. How long ago was that?
That was a couple months
ago.
Yeah.
In the old studio.
Yes.
Our funky old homegrown studio, which was very fun.
Yep.
Not as fun as this, of course.
Not as fun as this.
But
trade it up.
Anyway, so you've been busy. Let's hear a little bit about what you've been up to.
Well, one fun thing I did was in May, I went for a tour of the Geraldine R. Dodge Foundation building in Morristown, New Jersey. And it's a totally green building, and it's like a showcase to promote sustainable community growth. And it was so cool. Have you been there?
Yes, yes. Paul Miller gave me a private tour because I'm so special.
Wow.
Well, it just turned out, actually, that he and I met there. And the Eco Center you're talking about.
Yeah.
They've done a couple of nice events there to help promote it and get it going.
Right. Yeah, they had one. It was sponsored by Community Earth, and they had wine and cheese at ours. So
Well, see, I'm not that special.
Yeah, but it was so cool. I'll tell you that they had this.
I think I got a cup of water.
A cup of water. Okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, you could have, they had a green roof. Maybe there was some plants you could have snacked on up there. But they had this bio wall, and it's one of the largest in the country. And it's you saw it, right? Three stories high.
No, it wasn't there when I was there, I don't think.
Oh, okay. And it was an interior wall of plants, three stories high. and just amazing. And I guess they're attached by duct and coconut fiber and sponge, and it just regenerates air throughout the building.
It's amazing. It's an amazing way to do agriculture in a small space vertically, you know.
Yeah. It was fabulous. And they just, and all the materials, they had the ice stone counters, cork floors, bamboo paneling, and of course, something no home should be without, the waterless urinal.
Of course.
But it was fun. It was great. And I know that they are willing to set up tours of the building for anyone who's interested. So I'll give you the website and we can post it later.
Yeah.
It's grdodge.org. But really great. They have a virtual tour, so you can actually see each of the things that they feature in a little video.
Well, it's not open yet. When you saw it, it was fully outfitted. Mm-hmm. But when I saw it, it was after the events. And, you know, so it was sort of back to stripped down version.
Right.
It had some fun art hanging still. Remember those mobiles?
Yeah.
Do you remember? Those were kind of fun. Yeah. And I guess what it's really designed to be is an incubator of sorts, mm-hmm. to help some green retail businesses, not just retail. They're also going to do a like a farmers co-op in the back.
Oh.
Where the farmers will bring in their food and it won't necessarily be for sale. It'll be for the restaurateurs in the area to come in.
Oh, how fabulous.
And get local food for their restaurants.
Yeah.
And they're also, I think, planning a commercial kitchen that they will rent out.
Wow.
So, you know, let's say I just, you know, I want to, you know, everybody wants my spaghetti sauce, right? But I don't have a commercial kitchen, so I can't sell it.
Right.
I can go there for a couple of hours or whatever I need and rent it at a reasonable rate.
Right.
And I think that's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
So they're trying to help create space for mm-hmm. small businesses, small eco-businesses to get a foothold and get started.
It's really good. Yeah, Morristown. There's a lot going on in Morristown. Very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that building is the old Mini Cooper. It's the old Mini Cooper place, right?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just huge. It's just huge.
It's
it
huge.
Goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And I was like walking through it going, okay, what kind of business could I come up with?
Yeah.
I mean, we could do the radio show from there maybe remotely. But
yeah, that would be fun.
You know, I kind of like our little studio here.
Definitely.
I just want to say to folks that if you want to call and heckle us or ask questions or talk to us or give us ideas, you know, maybe I shouldn't have said all that, right? You know, now I've invited trouble.
We want to be heckled? Okay.
Yeah. But give us a call on 973-267-9687, and we'll happily take your call. If we have someone on the line, we have more than one line. Remember the old studio? We couldn't take more than one call.
And if you're shy, just check in on our Facebook page, right?
Yeah. Check us out on Facebook. We need more love, more friends. And there's a lot of fun activity on our Facebook page lately. And that's just look for Green Divas Radio Show while we're plugging. Woohoo! Yeah, got a plug. So anyway, so you can call while we're talking to any of our guests and ask questions. And it's very sophisticated here. WMTR, we like it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so much going on. What else? I was going to say the Facebook page. We've been getting a lot of interesting folks finding us and posting little stories. I saw something on there about an eco mall app.
What's that, an eco mall app?
Yeah, I assume it's an eco shopping thing. I didn't get to look at it too detailed,
mm-hmm.
but I thought, you know, I got to get an iPhone.
You do?
I don't have an iPad. I have an iTouch, but because it's not a phone, it doesn't connect automatically everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
I downloaded a little app from the Seed Bomb people. I'll tell you about that later.
You did?
I did.
Aww.
That's great.
Yeah, well, you know, and most of the apps now are being made for Droids and iPhones.
Right.
BlackBerry's getting ripped off. We're falling by the side. But, you know, I like my BlackBerry because I get my email, you know. Well, one of these days I'll get, up to tech. I think we have a really cool tech woman calling in in a couple of weeks. I'm not sure. I have to check the schedule. And by the way, while I mentioned that, on our website, thegreendivas.com, thegreendivas.com, I do have a schedule up there for all of our upcoming guests. And we are booked right now into September.
Into September.
Into September.
Wow, there's a lot of demand, huh?
We're so popular. All right, I think Green Diva Marie is on the line, so I'm going to... Marie?
Megan?
Ooh, there you are. I'm always so excited when the phone works, you know.
So am I.
And you're calling us. I said you were very gracious to call us from your vacation. I really appreciate it. Thank your family for me.
I will. I'm talking outside, so I'm letting them sleep in today.
So aww. Now you're in Palm Springs?
Yeah, hot Palm Springs, 111 degrees yesterday.
Oh, come on.
I know.
But it's dry heat, right?
Well, they say it's humid, but I don't feel the humidity, you know, compared to the East Coast. I'm thinking, I don't see the humidity.
Wow. Well, if it gets a little more humid, it's just like being in a sauna.
There you go. It's good for your skin, though.
Now, you're doing a fun segment today. You're going to talk a little bit about some eco jewelry.
Yeah, I thought that would be fun, especially seeing my daughter starting to make all this, you know, fun jewelry, homemade things that she does, especially in the summertime. You know, you focus more on jewelry and fun stuff like that. So I started looking into that. And I found a few great websites, actually, but one great website I found was called Green Carrot. And they're a great website because they talk about recycling your gold or reusing it because the gold mining that takes place is so damaging on the environment. And it contaminates local fisheries with the chemicals that they use that I was not aware of. And, you know, it's good to use what we have and, you know, not invade the earth.
Yeah, it's just not necessary because some of us have gold that really we aren't using.
Yeah, and things that we haven't worn in for ages.
Now,
exactly.
I just want to say that Green Carrot is spelled Green K-A-R-A-T?
K-A-R-A-T, yes.
Because, you know, someone like me would just go C-A-R-R-O-T, you know, duh. I just had to say that. Go ahead.
It's quite clever, actually. I like that. Yeah, so it talks about recycling. I'm sorry, I can't hear you that well. So if I'm stalling or stuttering, it's because I'm waiting to hear your response.
Oh.
The connection isn't that great.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, they talk about, you know, recycling your gold and reusing it. Because, yeah, I didn't realize that, you know, 25 tons of gold per year gets mined and they do use chemicals like cyanide and mercury to separate the rock from the gold.
Nice.
Which, you know, in turn, that mercury gets dumped in the rivers, which in turn contaminates local fisheries and the environment. And then the mercury they use kind of, you know, is breathed by a lot of the miners. And, you know, it's just not a very good situation. So making
Yikes.
People aware of this is really important.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for that.
And also, you know, there's also the diamonds and the mining with that. I know they've come up with the Kimberley process, which, you know, helps to assure customers that they're purchasing diamonds that are not financing war and human rights abuses. But, you know, that process still needs some fine-tuning there. That was passed in 2003. And what's great is way back, I'm sure you remember, in 2006, Leonardo DiCaprio came up with a film called Blood Diamond.
Right.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a pretty accurate depiction of what's going on out there. So I think becoming aware of what's happening and helping out, not, you know, creating more damage is really important.
Well, and damage not only to the earth, but to humans and our culture and communities, really. It's very devastating, the whole blood diamond thing. There's a company called Brilliant Earth. Did you find them at all?
Yes, I did. And they're also a very, very great company. They believe in the same things, in recycling, reusing, also supporting, you know, human rights and things like that. And they're also amazing. there's a lot of great companies out there that are really doing their best to, you know, turn things around and make people aware.
Well, and a lot of them, well, Brilliant Earth is a Canadian company, right? I mean, and there's a lot of Canadian diamonds, which I didn't realize. You know, there's a whole Canadian connection to it. You should relate to that and know all about it, Marie.
Yes, I should. I should know all about that. But I'm learning every day. I'm learning new things every day. But there's a little controversy about the Canadian diamonds, though, because a lot of people say there's a lot of loopholes in that, and there's not a lot of clarity because there's too many companies together. You know, working towards a negative situation, so positive. But I don't know all the fine details for that. So, I think the best thing we can do right now is, you know, just to ask the companies that we do buy from where the diamonds come from and ask more questions when we are purchasing things like this. And just let them know that we are aware of this, and you know that gets passed down, and hopefully the matter gets a little rectified down the line.
Well, or you could be like me and buy my diamond engagement ring was from an estate jeweler, and
that's true. That's great.
The diamond that I have is from the 1890s. So I don't know what kind of horror went into creating this diamond, and you know it probably wasn't very great back then in certain aspects. I don't know about human rights and all that, but it certainly didn't contribute to cyanide and mercury poisoning of our fish and environment, perhaps. I really don't know what the practices were like, but at least it wasn't a new diamond, and I think there's so much beautiful jewelry out there, like all of all the things that we can reuse and buy and recycle.
I've had a lot of fun going to these vintage jewelry shows,
yeah,
and buying stuff. It's so much fun, and you just think about the history and who wore it. And
yeah,
it's really fun.
Yeah, sometimes it's creepy to think about it. Like, you know, when you're buying a diamond, this diamond was actually reset because, you know, I've looked at diamonds and I thought, you know, was that a happy marriage? Do I really want that kind of energy?
Well, you
know,
can,
on my
you can probably feel it as you pick up the ring.
Yeah,
it'll have some kind of a bond.
I know that's.
I think that's great, and especially if you have jewelry in your family that has a lot of sentimental value and stuff. It's a beautiful thing to recycle it and create it and have all those memories still with you, and you're not affecting anything else. You're just reusing what you have, which is great.
Well, Marie, I'm so thankful that you took a little time to call us on your vacation. Again, thank your family. And
I will. Thank you. It's always fun talking to you guys.
And did you say it was Canada Day today?
Oh, no, that was yesterday. Oh,
okay. All right.
Yeah. But, you know, we celebrate throughout the weekend.
Oh, okay. So it's Independence Day, Canada Day. It's a big party for everybody.
There you go.
All right. Thanks for calling, Marie.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, we'll go to a break, and then we'll come right back. So everybody, please just stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you a foodie or eco-fashionista, or just curious about matters relating to sustainable food and eco-style? Important Media has some of the best blogs on the internet for practical and easy-to-use information from some of the most experienced green bloggers on the internet. Join the Green Divas on two of our favorites, eatdrinkbetter.com and feelgoodstyle.com, and learn and share more about easy green living. Find out about all the Important Media blogs at importantmedia.org.
Welcome to Green Light with the original Green Diva, Megan McWilliams. Useful ideas for low-stress green living straight from the Fun Green Divas radio show.
What do you know about light pollution? Find out more coming right up. As Green Divas and Green Dudes, we are always looking for up-to-date and credible green news and information, and one of our favorite go-to sources is ecoseed.org. As a well-established and internationally known resource for the latest in environmental news, ecoseed.org creates original content as well as gathers and carefully chooses news from some of the most trusted news sources available. A well-organized site that is easy to browse, we recommend making ecoseed.org a favorite in your browser. Lighting is responsible for one quarter of all electricity consumption worldwide. Excessive artificial light at night, also known as sky glow and over-illuminating, is not only a significant energy waster, it has measurable and negative effects on the health of wildlife, humans, and ecosystems. Enough of the bad news. Here's what you can do. 1. Get educated about better lighting choices. Go to the International Dark Sky Association's website, darksky.org. 2. Minimize outdoor lighting at night. And 3. Listen to the Green Diva's interview with Kevin Poe, also known as the Dark Ranger, to get some great ideas.
To find out more about the Green Diva's radio show and podcast, visit thegreendivas.com.
Now more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone green dude, Scott.
Oh, well. Well, Scott's here in spirit from the Hamptons.
Should I have loaded up on testosterone this morning?
All right.
I apologize. I didn't.
Well, you're on with the Green Divas, Green Diva Meg and Green Diva Barbara. She's looking at me like, I don't know. Who am I? What am I doing here? I don't know. Anyway, I just want to mention also that we're on Facebook, and if you'd like to, we would love it if you would find us on Facebook, Green Divas Radio Show, and interact with us. We are actually really having a good time interacting with our fans. We have fans.
We have fans. It's great.
And Twitter, you can find me on Twitter at Green Diva Meg. And, of course, there's the blog, thegreendivas.com. I just wanted to mention from our last, first of all, the two ladies here with the computers, Silent Jesse and Barbara, went right to these websites, the Brilliant Earth and the greencarrot.com websites that we were talking about.
And we're ready to spend money.
Oh, diamonds.
Gorgeous. The work is gorgeous. These artists really do some amazing things.
It's really fun. Yeah. And I wanted to mention also one of our greatest fans on the Green Diva Facebook page is this company called artweeds.com. Hmm. There's some designers that do eco jewelry made from, you know, reclaimed and recycled materials. Really creative stuff.
Yeah,
and reasonable.
It's,
you know, we all love sparkly things, but
check it out.
Reasonably priced sparkly things are also fun.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I just wanted to mention them because they've been really active and interactive on our site. And I love kind of, you know, shouting out to our good fans there. Heavy sigh. Okay, now I am going to do a green pet segment. And you know why I have not done a pet, eco-pet segment in so long?
Why?
Well, I used to have three dogs, all over 100 pounds. One golden retriever and two Newfies.
Well, I know about Woody.
Yeah, you met Woody, the wonder dog. And two cats, a guinea pig, a bird, and a lizard. And
you haven't done a pet segment.
Well, you know, I'm down to one cat. And Woody, because we just said, look, this is insane. We got to just kind of, you know, chill. But I do miss all my pets. And we're down to our one Spooky. And Spooky is so spoiled, it's ridiculous.
Well, Spooky's been on the Facebook page. I've seen
Spooky. Spooky's there right now, as a matter of fact. Because as I was, you know, researching this segment, I found an old post that I had done from a company called West Paw Design. And they make some wonderful pet eco pet, you know, a lot of it is toys and bedding, all that are made from sustainable materials, manufacturing process, reused and recycled materials. And they've even like trademarked this stuff called IntelliLoft fibers from recycled plastic bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all safe for animals.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a great company. But they had sent out some fun toys when I had Woody, and Woody passed this past Christmas.
Oh, I know. I'm so
that's
sorry.
Why I've been, like, reluctant to do the pet thing, because I thought, well, I can't cry on the air, because, you know, no.
Well, if you need a dog to test, we have our Susie, who also is a rescue dog, which is also very important,
too.
So she's happy to test out any toys.
Okay, good, good. Well, I probably have some stuff for Susie. Anyway, so they had sent out some stuff, and this was one of those companies when I, you know, we get stuff mailed to us all the time. And it just appeared on my front doorstep. And I thought, oh, my God, how did they know? We have a cat and a dog. So if you go to our website, there's a funny little post about it, about our animals playing with that stuff. Anyway. And then
did they like it?
They loved it.
Great.
Although the picture of Spooky would not depict that because Spooky looks kind of irritated. You know, like cats do. Like, I'm too cool to actually have fun with this on camera.
Well, she won't be the spokesmodel cat for them. That's okay.
Except, yeah, it's pretty funny. It's pretty. And speaking of funny, okay, so one of the things, Care2, you know, one of our great online media partners, they do a lot with pets and animals. So I went on Care2 to see what was new and happening with pets. And, okay, this one I thought was a little weird. There's somebody that's making jewelry out of their cat's hair. So I kind of combined, right, the jewelry thing and the cat hair.
Okay.
And pets, I mean, you know, the pet segment and the jewelry thing. And I thought, oh, I don't know. I winced, right? You just did. You winced.
You saw me wince.
Right. So for everybody who can't see us, I'm telling you, everybody winced. She has this adorable little Persian cat, little fluffy white cat ball. And, you know, obviously the cat gives off a lot of hair.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is reusing.
Right.
It's not going into the landfill.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I got to believe that that hair is biodegradable anyway.
And what did she make?
And this woman named Flora Davis, she makes furry orbs. I can only tell you to go to her website. Well, she sells these things on Etsy. And the range is like $95 to $280.
And what's an orb?
Well, they're like little balls. And she creates jewelry that has a variety of different fur balls and different, you know, configurations. And she's a serious artist. She's got a lot of interesting jewelry otherwise, but she's incorporated her cat's fur balls.
That is true.
Now, honestly, they're not her cat's fur balls. I'm sure they're not digested and regurgitated.
Now I'm really wincing.
I know. I don't want to make fun of it, but it you know, the right? You know?
You got to push the edge when you're an artist. I'm telling you, that's. You have to
bless
push
her for being creative,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Gaia is the cat's name who donates the hair willingly and whatever. I just had to say that because I thought it was weird.
Very, very good.
But really, if you want to know about animal rights or animals and pets and adoption, Care2 has such a great pet thing going on. I'm not just pitching them because they're our partner. They really do have a very good animal section. Now, the other thing I found, which is a commercial site, is ecopets.com.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what I was stunned is that they have whole websites just for birds, small animals, ferrets, cats, dogs, horses. And they have extensive eco lines for each of these. Well, sometimes they're not that extensive, but, you know, because sometimes it's just about organic food or, you know, specialty natural foods. But for instance, bird toys, they have a bunch of bird toys that are made from like coconut half shells. Who knew? A vine ball bird toy, you know, and a zigzag shredders made from like used cardboard, I guess.
And I'm going to be talking about cardboard in my segment, so.
Are you?
How about that?
We're segueing.
So
we're making sense almost. So I will post, or Jesse, let's say, let's be honest. Jesse will post.
Jesse's the worker.
Jesse's doing this post for us. These websites and links to the things that I've mentioned in this little eco pet segment.
Very good.
And let's segue from the cardboard.
To the cardboard. Right.
Okay, in our eco art segment.
Eco art. Well, you know, I've done a little bit of mosaics and decoupage and just played around a little bit. But I'm just so fascinated by artists who really do some really creative things. And what a perfect segue. I found Lucy Lytle, and she's from Canada, and she does work with corrugated cardboard. So you know how cardboard, like you have the two smooth sides,
and right, then
in between the layer
the wavy
is this
stuff.
Sandwiching, and it's like a fluted paper, which is the corrugated part. And you wouldn't think it, but it comes in all different heights and widths and textures and colors.
So you can buy it raw.
Well, what she does is she works with that part, the part in between the two smooth parts, and she'll make clocks, like clock frames, picture frames, jewelry displays, and almost like in a mosaic using the different
It's used,
but it has to be smooth. She has to work with smooth.
Okay.
You know, but it's definitely used. I mean, and from her artist statement, she said, and I thought this was so nice, "I'm drawn to the subtle beauty of things imperfect, impermanent, and humble."
Oh, and, that is nice.
It is nice, yeah. And she just, you know, she just wants to help people see the possibilities of things that are usually called waste. So she really has done some creative things, and we'll put her website up because it's very hard to picture it.
Yeah, it is.
But her website is corrugatedart.com. So she was very interesting. And then another one I found, this is crazy. This is Nancy Judd, Recycle Runway, and she does sustainable fashion designs made from trash. Now, and I'm reading it, and it says couture fashions, but I'm telling you, it is. She has designed ball gowns and gorgeous things, and she does a lot of traveling exhibitions. Right now, she's being exhibited in the Atlanta airport, so she does a lot of educational things. So one of the things on her website right now is the environmental stewardess.
She
created a stewardess outfit out of worn-out leather seat covers from Delta Planes, and she has a cape that's made from some safety cards, Sky magazines, old plane tickets, and pretzel wrappers.
That's hilarious.
It's great.
And does she have pictures of all this? Like, that's the kind of stuff you want to touch.
You have to see it. You have to see it.
But I want to touch it because I want to see, like, how it feels, drapes, all that stuff.
No, absolutely. Now, this one I would really want to touch. She also did a glass evening gown.
Really?
12,000 pieces of recycled crushed glass.
You think that was heavy?
It must be heavy. Must be heavy. And I wonder what it feels like wearing it.
But wait, going back to the stewardess, I thought it was like really un-PC. They're called flight attendants now, right? I don't know. But you know how you have environmental stewards?
Right.
Maybe that's the play on words.
Very clever. And she also did a youth eco dress. And this one, it was made by 2,000 children over a period of 2 years. And it's old bed sheets and recycled office paper. And it looks like something out of Gone with the Wind. I mean, gorgeous.
Really?
Gorgeous.
Wow. Okay, so we'll put that up on the website for sure.
Definitely. Crackedpots.org.
Oh, that's me. That's all right. I'm a crackpot.
Crackpots. Nonprofit group. And they have a lot of different artists on their sites. And I was looking at some of the things that they have for the garden, for example. And they have planters made from salvaged docks and houseboat floats.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Plant markers from silverware. Just creative stuff.
What a great way, you know, to use garbage so it's not just going into the landfill, and not only use it, but appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Now, this one you're really going to appreciate because this is about plastic bags. Virginia Fleck, virginiafleck.com, makes mandalas out of plastic bags.
Really? Yeah, we've been on a plastic binge lately. We've been talking a lot about plastic.
Plastic binge. And what she does is she actually started this as a kind of a artistic critique of consumerism. So she will take plastic bags that have all these marketing messages and reconfigure them in a different way into these mandalas. These are 8 or 9 foot mandalas.
Wow.
Gorgeous.
Wow.
Gorgeous. And thousands of bags will go into them.
And so she'll use different colors.
Textures, and they are beautiful. So this is at virginiafleck.com.
Obviously all of this stuff we're describing it to the best of our ability.
Yeah, these ones you have to see. I mean, they are just...
This is the limitation of radio.
Yeah.
You have to go...
They're gorgeous. And then the last one was someone who actually had commented on your Facebook page. This was ecofirstart.com.
Yeah, I've looked through their stuff a couple of times.
Right. They have a lot of, and again, this is a collection of different artists, and they have jewelry, lighting, art, apparel. For instance, I found a bench that was made out of gears and steel from Land Rover car parts.
How classy.
Yeah. And
very British.
Yes. A desk made from an aluminum airplane wing.
Really?
Again, the airplane. We're seeing.
Yeah, it's another airplane thing. And that's, you know, Green Dude Scott works at an airport. That's what he does. Is
see?
He's a ground traffic.
I'm channeling Scott today. I tell
there you go.
I don't have the testosterone.
See, Scotty's
going,
here.
But he's here. And then the last one was a sofa made from recycled zippers and silk ties.
What?
I know. You got to see it.
What?
You got to see it. We will list the websites because.
Oh, this is like, you know, almost a cheesy promotional way to get people to the website because I want to go to the website now and find this stuff.
I know. Well, I want to just go do some dumpster diving.
See, you guys
see
have computers in front of you. And what people don't know is I don't have a computer in front of me. And I'm like anxious to rip one of these computers from their hands and go look.
I know.
Because it sounds like a lot of fun. It makes you want to like what's in my garage that I could go play with.
Right. No, it's fabulous. I have such respect for these artists who can create such radical ideas out of garbage.
Yeah. And I'd like to think I could do that, but I don't know. Well, I do have a garage full of ideas. I do. I collect ideas. Wayne's like, you're not allowed to go to garage sales anymore because I find furniture. And I'm like, I'm going to paint that or I'm going to do this. I'm going to make a table out of that. And he's like, yeah, right. So we'll have another garage sale soon.
Someone else will pick it up and do something with it.
I hope so. Anyway, what a great report. Thank you so much.
That was fun.
Now we're going to go on another break and we'll be right back. We have a wonderful interview coming, so please stay tuned.
What's with the slingshot? I haven't seen a slingshot since I was about 10.
Oh, I've been launching seed bombs in the ugly gray spots in my neighborhood. Can't wait to see what sprouts.
Come again?
A creative company called Greenaid makes these clay balls that are regionally, you know, specific seeds and offers them by internet and even vending machines around the country.
That is so cool. Can I borrow this? I want to shoot some bombs in my neighborhood.
Find out more about seed bombs at greenaid.com.
Now more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone Green Dude Scott.
Hello. I was just kind of sitting there listening to the music. I forgot I had to talk. Oh, well.
I need to poke you or something.
Yes. Welcome back to the Green Divas radio show. You're on with Green Diva Meg and...
guest Green Diva Barb.
Yeah. Oh, you're so good, Barb. Anyway, we're about to get on the air with the Green Bomb Inventors, Danny Phillips and Kim Carlsrud. And let me see. Hello, Danny and Kim.
Yes, this is actually Danny, just Danny today.
Oh, okay. All right, awesome. I just want to apologize if I massacred Kim's name anyway. Is it Carlsrud?
Carlsrud.
Carlsrud.
But sometimes she can be rude. I'm just kidding.
Well, you probably already know we're huge fans of the work you've done with seed bombs.
Well, thank you so much. And, appreciate it.
And I know, I guess the first thing I want to know is, how did you come up with the idea for seed bombs?
Well, seed bombs themselves have been around for a long time. One of the first guerrilla gardening groups, officially recognized guerrilla gardening groups, started out in New York by a woman named Liz Christie, who developed some initial ideas about seed bombs that people would fill balloons and condoms full of seeds and soil and water.
How creative.
And kind of hurl them. Yeah, and they'd hurl them over fences in sort of underutilized spaces of the city. And throughout the next few decades, this is actually in the 70s, but throughout the next few decades, there was a lot of advancements made in the technology, and they basically ended up as little nuggets of clay, compost, and seeds, about 500 seeds. And it started for us was that we actually had a handful of candy machines handed down to us from a family member. And we didn't know what to do with them. And we just kind of had a eureka moment of like, what would happen if we tried to combine seed bomb technology with gumball machines to make them more accessible to the masses. And so that's kind of where it started about a year ago with a prototype machine in downtown L.A. And it's kind of spread from that point to a lot of different regions across the country and even spreading internationally now. So it's just a regular old gumball machine that is sort of utilized in a new way.
Well, okay, let's backtrack, and I probably should have asked first for those that do not know what a seed bomb is. Let's just give a little 101 on that, which you sort of did, but, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, the seed bomb is a little nugget of clay compost and about 500 seeds. You can put all different types of seeds in a seed bomb, and we have several mixes that we offer. But the idea is guerrilla gardening. So you go out into the world, you find areas in your city, your community, even in your own yard, as it might be, and you take it upon yourself to plant something there. So you throw it, you chuck it, you plant it, and as soon as they get a little sun and water, they'll start to sprout and grow into little miniature gardens.
What I love is part of what you guys are doing is you're also creating seed bombs that are regionally appropriate, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have we've gone through a lot of research to come up with 7 regional mixes that include native species that are custom formulated to those regions. So we have a seed mix that's basically appropriate for any state that we would put the machine in. So in California, for example, it's including native wildflowers like lupins and poppies, and then on the East Coast, including native wildflowers like New England aster and butterfly weed and things like that.
And obviously, you've picked flowers that really, with the combination of compost and clay that you've put together, they can pop up anywhere, right? They're pretty easy to root.
And do they explode as soon as they hit the ground? Is that the idea?
The explosion is actually the explosion is the growth. So it's kind of it's a slow explosion. Sometimes they do break if you chuck them really, really hard or really far. We actually, one of the tools that we use sometimes to distribute the seed bombs is a slingshot, which is a really great way to get them into all the hard-to-reach areas. But, the explosion is the growth of whatever plant species is included in the seed bomb. And, yeah, since we sort of custom formulate them with the native species, they have a higher likelihood of actually germinating and rooting and growing in whatever context they're thrown in.
Yeah, see, we had the slingshot. You all sent us a slingshot, which, by the way, was so much fun. We had more fun, and we ran out of, you know, the seed bombs, like, very quickly.
I know. I wanted to try one, and I know. You had nothing left.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. I'm sorry.
That's the dilemma, right, is what do you do with the slingshot when you run out of seed bombs?
You got to get more seed bombs. That's all there is to it.
How big?
Exactly. Don't,
how big is the seed bomb?
Don't put it in rock from there. I'm sorry. Can you do that one more time?
Oh, I was just wondering how big the seed bomb is, and Megan was.
The ones that we make are about 1.25 inches in diameter, and it's based on basically the size of a gumball.
Well, because of the machine you had, right? Now, how many vending machines do you have out there now?
At this point, we have about 70 machines.
Wow.
Placed in different cities across the U.S. and, like I said, internationally. Big and small cities alike, and in the course of a year, we've estimated that we've probably distributed in those machines about 100,000 seed bombs, which equates to about 40 million native seeds distributed into all the nooks and crannies of the built environment. So we have to do a lot more in the coming years as well.
Well, and I read that you have one or at least one installed in London now.
We had a few installed in London. It was part of a big guerrilla gardening exhibit that was organized through Selfridge's department store. And we're currently looking for new homes for those machines. And we also actually just sent some machines over to Greece.
Wow.
To Athens. We have a few machines up in Canada at this point. And also a few down in Mexico.
And what kind of locations are they in? Like, are they in
urban mostly?
Urban or in malls or stores or?
Well, the great thing about the machines is that basically they can be placed virtually anywhere that has high foot traffic. You know, a lot of people, we partner with a lot of like boutiques and record stores and bookstores. And we just started a relationship with Whole Foods Market here in Southern California.
Oh, that's going to be big.
There's in some cases it's an individual that gets in touch with us who wants to do something interesting in their own community or put it outside near a vacant lot, or even in front of in their own yard. In some cases, it's a local business who wants to find ways to kind of better engage with the community at large.
Now, how do you maintain all of these? How do you know when they're running low or you need to refill and all that fun stuff?
Well, the great thing is that people, we keep in touch with all of our machine operators as soon as they, and we actually produce all of the seed bombs here still, and as soon as they need a refill, they get in touch with us, and we come to their service. So it's just a matter of keeping in touch with us and letting us know when it's empty. We also have a rental program for the machines that allows people to have basically a refill service every month.
Wow.
And we service a lot of the local machines ourselves. We'll go and drop off the refills, and it's fun. We have met so many great people in the course of doing this project, and it's fun.
Well, as you're talking, I'm visualizing, okay, where would I put one in Bhutan?
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm starting to visualize where we can have one. So you have, like, operators or people connected to or responsible for each machine out there for the most part.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And how much does it, like, if I wanted to buy one seed bomb, I mean, I'm picturing, again, the gumball machine and putting a quarter in. How does the consumer actually buy them?
Well, the seed bombs in the machines, most of our machines bend the seed bombs for about 50 cents. So you put two quarters in back to back, you turn the crank. Of course, that's one of the funnest aspects of a vending machine is that process of turning the crank, and people of all ages love to do that. So, you put in 50 cents, you turn the crank, and you get a single seed bomb out. Another aspect of the experience is that all of our machines are incorporated with QR codes. I don't know if you know what a QR code is, but it's just a little image that you can scan. If you have a smartphone that has a digital camera, you can scan it with your smartphone, and it'll bring up a landing page that allows people to interact. Once they've taken the seed bomb, it allows them to identify spaces across their city that they feel like are in need of seed bombs, and tag and track all the different locations that they've thrown the seed bombs.
Oh, my God.
So it's not only just taking the seed bomb. It's actually following through and interacting with a larger community online.
Well, that was my next question, was how much follow-up have you done, and do you get pictures from people of, here's my little parking lot that has some fun flowers from seed bombs? But this app is amazing. Wow, how high-tech.
I know, because I downloaded an app, I guess that's before you buy it, that showed where the locations are currently.
For the vending machines?
For the vending machines, right. But I didn't see the one that showed tracking the progress. That's great.
That's that little square thing,
absolutely.
that QR code you're talking about, is that little square, like weird barcode looking thing.
Yeah, it's a really exciting sort of development in what they're calling kind of geospatial social networking. So, like, using programs like Looped or Foursquare or Ground Map, and it's something that, as of right now, is used on the one hand for people to basically broadcast their whereabouts to all their friends, or as an opportunity for advertisers to shoot, promotions to people in real time. But what's really exciting about programs like that is that it can start to be used as a tool to organize guerrilla gardening in a new way. So identifying spaces and also building interest around certain spaces, or building the will to transform spaces in a real-time sort of spatial way that's more akin to our experience just walking through the urban environment.
Wow. Now you said you produce all the seed bombs where you are, and where are you again? Colorado?
We are in Los Angeles.
Okay, all right. A few states off. And where do you get the seeds from?
We have a local supplier that supplies all of our seeds, and in some cases we do. We partner with different botanists in the city that we're going to be putting the machines, or try and coordinate with local nurseries or seed suppliers in those locations to make sure we're getting the right seeds.
Well, it's excellent, and the whole bioregional idea, I think, because I know people that are very concerned that we're losing some of our bioregional plants, and so this is really a great way of, you know, kind of reintroducing in certain areas, right?
Absolutely. You know, there's the inclusion of the native species. You know, a lot of these species were incredibly prevalent, you know, maybe 50, 100, even a couple hundred years ago. But due to urbanization or different forces have been kind of choked out by other types of plant ecologies. And so it's really done. These seed bombs are kind of really thrown in the spirit of ecological restoration.
I like that.
And that's one of the biggest questions that we get is, you know, what seeds are you putting in there? We want to make sure we don't include any noxious weeds or invasive species.
Well, thank you.
because it would completely, you know, defeat the point of what we're trying to do.
Well, I love the idea of eco-restoration. Now, I happen to love my slingshot, but I'm sure you can't get one of those in a vending machine, so how can people get their slingshots?
You can make your own, which is always fun.
That's always true.
As long as you don't cut down any trees. And we also offer those on our website, so if you visit our website or our Facebook, they're offered there as well.
And your website is?
Our website is greenaid.co, and our Facebook is facebook.com/greenaidvending.
Okay, so people should look up Greenaid Vending on Facebook. And we'll put
and
that.
And then the website again is greenaid.co, not coms, dot co.
Yeah, what does that mean, co? Is that a new?
It's a newfangled domain name that we're trying out, although a lot of people think we're misspelling .com, which is why I have to kind of qualify.
I thought, is it from, like, Colorado? Maybe that's why I thought you were in Colorado, because I thought CO.
Oh, there you go.
See? Well, I am so thrilled you called, and I apologize it was complicated to get both you and Kim on the phone. We promise, Kim, we'll have her on next time, because we want to keep talking about this stuff. I think it is wonderful what you're doing, and we'll want an update in a couple of months.
And we'll have to update you on the boom.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to try to find a spot for one. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
For calling, Danny.
Oh, well, thank you, guys. Have a great day, and we really appreciate it.
All right, thanks. That's Danny from Greenaid. I thought I dropped it. Thank you. Okay, I'm still working on the phone thing.
Still learning. It's okay.
Yeah, well, you know, it's only been 5 weeks. Anyway, Mike's disgusted with me, but that's okay. So that was fun, and those are seed bombs, and I love the idea of guerrilla gardening, urban gardening, and you know, just having fun, getting out there, throwing seeds around. It's such a positive way. When he mentioned that they're in Greece, I thought of all the kind of violence that's going on there. Mm. I thought, well, maybe if they just grab seed bombs and start whipping them around, they'll feel a little better.
And I love being able to track them, track the progress.
Isn't that amazing?
That is such a great app.
Yeah, this is great that they're combining sort of a natural thing with kind of a high energy, fun, and technology thing. I don't think I'm making any sense anymore. Thank God the show's almost over. I just want to kind of let you know what's coming up next week. We have Tom Zakey, the CEO of TerraCycle. We've talked a lot in the last couple of weeks about repurposing, and he has an amazing business upcycling garbage into wonderful products. Brilliantly done, I might add. So he'll be on next week. And the following week, we have Kimberly Pinkson, who's the co-founder of EcoMom.com. So we'll be getting back to our mom roots. Mm. I just graduated my baby, so I feel I feel like, you know, I'm removed from some of the, you know, the fun eco mom stuff that's coming up out there.
Right, but you still want to promote it.
Well, yeah, and my daughter is a little eco mom. I'm a little eco grandma now. I'm a granny.
Eco grandma.
Eco granny. My granny handles Yaya. I'm an eco Yaya. So I just want to remind folks to find us on Facebook, interact, let us know what's going on, what you think, ask questions, try to be nice. Find us Green Divas Radio Show, and our blog is greendivas.com. And you can always follow me on Twitter, at Green Diva Meg. And, you know, we've almost burned up another hour. We've got about a minute left.
It goes pretty fast.
So did you have fun today, Barb?
I had so much fun.
We love our Green Diva, Barb.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I want to come back again.
Yeah, we do have fun. Anyway, thanks a lot for listening this week. Please check out our website for what's coming up in the schedule and other things going on. And have a great green week.
Yay. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye. Oh, yeah. Happy Independence Day.
Exactly.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. And remember to share the good green news with friends and family.